Right, back to Ephesians 6, and we're moving to the verse 16. The verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. In warfare, the odds of battle are seldom fair. In recent warfare in Afghanistan, we have seen Afghani soldiers engaging with tanks. These are Afghanis on horseback, light mountain horses. Now, they may have the advantage on the mountain terrain, on those craggy, dusty hills, where in high altitudes, machinery doesn't function very well. But in the open plain, what hope? What chance of survival when unprotected men with horsepower go out against armor-plated tanks and all their weaponry? And we know, of course, the odds of their losses are extensively high when we lament the few of our Canadian troops and others who do lose their lives in battle. The shield for the Roman soldier would be the equivalent to an armor-plated tank today. It was his main source of protection against these fiery darts of the enemy. In ancient warfare, in the opening phase of a massive battle engagement, the archers were employed, and the slingers were brought in, and they dipped their arrows in rags and bitumen or tar, set them alight, and with an opening barrage of attack, they sought to weaken their forces with these arrows shooting through the air from all directions. And of course, with a sustained attack by air power, and with these fiery darts, when they land upon a soldier, they certainly would eliminate him and take him out of the battle. And the whole intent was that with a sustained first phase of archery and fiery darts, that the opponent's army would be greatly decimated and weakened. But for the Roman soldier, he had a shield that was metal-lined. It was usually about 4 feet high by 2 feet wide, and he could, for the most part, protect his whole body from these fiery darts, these fireballs slinging through the air. And when they hit his shield, they would just roll off and land in the ground in front of him and cause no harm or injury at all. No wonder we would say, Paul exhorts here, above all, taking the shield. Above all. And no matter how a soldier is trained, and whatever other skills he has in warfare, if he's out in the open and subject to these fiery darts without a shield, he is in great and immediate danger. And so only a fool would go to battle without a shield in these times. Now, of course, this also holds true when we come to the analogy of faith, because this is called the shield of faith. And Paul is thinking of more than just the battlefield. He's thinking of the Christian life that you and I are living. And we are to take faith as our shield. And of course, the analogy holds true because this is the first item of equipment that is not attached to the body. The other items that we have looked at already, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes that were attached to the feet, they were all became part of the body. They became part of the man. But the shield was between the man and the enemy. And faith is that protective means that God has given us. It is preventative. It is that ability to withstand the evils of spiritual warfare. And so Paul takes this analogy and he calls it the shield of faith. Now, every soldier, therefore, with one arm carried a shield. And he was to lay hold upon that shield of faith. And we are to lay hold upon faith. We are to lay hold upon everything that that faith lays hold upon. The promises of God. That's why I wanted us to read sections of Hebrews 11 in that chapter of men and women who conquered over great odds and great oppositions, even unto death, taking this weapon of faith. Through faith, they conquered for the Lord. They believed the promises. They looked for a city whose builder and founder was God. They looked beyond this world. They laid hold upon God's promises. And then also this faith lays hold of God's power. We're told in 1 Peter 1 that we are kept through faith by the power of God. That word kept means garrisoned. It means that we are encircled around by God's protection. Kept through faith. And this faith that God gives to His people protects us in the world in which we live and the battles that we fight every day as Christians. And then another aspect that this faith enables us to lay hold upon is the passion, the death, the blood, the work of Christ. Faith has in view as its object the death, the victory of the Lord at the cross. And if you're living by faith, taking the shield of faith every day, there is, in a spiritual way, between you and the enemy, the cross work of Christ, the blood of Christ, the power of His victory in His death. You lay hold upon that to stand between you and the enemy that you face and the battles that you fight. And so we have this exhortation, above all, taking the shield of faith. So we have seen what this shield of faith does. Now we want to take it into action. Because in reality, as you live in this world as a Christian, and I'm speaking now to you who are profess the name of the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you're seeking to live for Him above the world, and you're called to live by faith in all the struggles of life. And you are going into action. And we need to take this into the battle. And every day the devil is hurling his fiery darts. His fierce opposition against you. Of course, his aim and object is to eliminate you out of the Lord's army. By injury, by discouragement, by bringing you down to the point where you are unable to stand in the battle. And so we need to go into action with this shield of faith. Now, as you know, in warfare, this is a constant but never an even battle. Never 2 days the same. And of course, that's the reason for the study and the art of warfare. There's never two battles fought on exactly the same ground, the same terms, the same odds. And you may have had a great day yesterday. A great day when you say, boy, I felt on the mountaintop for God. But tomorrow, you could be the target of the vicious assaults of the evil one. And your mind and heart and soul will be cast right down to the depths where you'll be sensing defeat in trench warfare, where battle was prolonged for months and months. There were times when those in the trenches, every day was just a day of pure monotony in the filth and the mud of the trenches. But try to poke your head up just a little bit, you get shot at. And for weeks, things can just be a lull. And then the enemy launches an offensive. And that very trench that you're in might be the target of the enemy. Satan works like that. I certainly believe that there are times when the devil targets individual Christians, individual churches, and even individual nations to bring them down, to defeat their witness for the Lord. And so this is a constant battle, but never an even battle. And you may feel at times, and you will feel at times, there will be weeks, there may be months in your Christian life, that you will feel there's just been one mighty obstacle, one awful barrage of attack after another, and you just feel drained as the target of attack. And it's then that you need the shield of faith. In fact, we always need the shield of faith on the ready. And so let's see just what the shield of faith dons. Firstly, the shield of faith can fight off Satan's accusations. Well, let me give you my outline first of all, so you know exactly where we're going here in this message. I want to be structured and lead you along step by step in this today. The shield of faith fights Satan's accusations, then his temptations, and then I want to deal with the imaginations. These are three areas that the shield of faith is vital to the Christian. Accusations. Well, that's the devil's forte. He's the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. And in Revelation 12:10, he is given this title, that he's before the throne of God, accusing the brethren. Now, this is seeming strange, that God would allow that wicked opponent of God himself and of his son and of his people to even appear in his presence, but he does. In the book of Zechariah, Joshua the high priest was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him. And there was Joshua seeking to enter into God's presence, and Satan right there at his right hand. And then the other story that everybody knows, the story of Job. That there was a day when the angels of God appeared before the Lord, and Satan was there too. And the subject of Job came up. And God said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And Satan said, "Doth Job serve thee for naught?" And hence the great drama in the life of Job losing his family, his possessions, his health. And the accusations of the devil were that Job is a hypocrite. His three friends come along and they use that same argument. It's not for naught, Job, that this has happened to you. Somewhere that you've had a secret sin that you're not telling us about. And Job is the target of attack. What does Job do? He endures it in silence. But then in chapter 19:25 in the book of Job, Job breaks forth with the shield of faith. And he says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." And he already had said, "The Lord taketh, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." His wife said, curse God and die, but he did not. He took the shield of faith when he had no earthly answers, when he could not reason with his three so-called friends and tell them, this and this and this are the reasons why I am in this terrible state. He just said, I believe, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he took the shield of faith to stand against the wiles of the devil. In Romans 8, Paul taught us exactly the same thing. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And when we have those accusations, and they may come through men, they may come through those that hurt us most, accusations, you're a hypocrite, you're a deceiver, you serve God for money and for prestige and for honor, and your heart is not right. And all those accusations thrown at you, whatever their source, you need the shield of faith. I'm justified. I have the righteousness of Christ to my account. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. My name is written in that book. And from the hissing and the hateful slurs of Satan, the shield of faith answers every accusation. And you are linked up to the promises of God, the power of God, and the death of the Lord Jesus. Can you take the shield of faith against those accusations? Accusations which are fiery darts which disturb you. They eat into you and they ruin your peace. And they disturb you to the point where you don't want to fight in the battle again. And you want to go into the background. But we're called to stand. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Let's move now to Satan's temptations. Satan is the tempter. His work is to sow the seeds of sin in our hearts. He tempts us to doubt God. Of course, that's his classic work in the Garden of Eden against Eve, when he said, "Hast God said?" Puts the question mark at what God had promised. And Satan sows the seeds of doubt in your heart. Now come on, be honest. You battle doubts often. And this is Satan's classic work. And he seeks to fill your mind so much that you begin to live life without factoring God into it at all. You get to that stage, Satan has you. And you're not using the shield of faith. The shield of faith is the answer to this. Don't listen to the doubting questions of the devil. Don't listen to his whisperings. That can't be true. He argues against the very voice of God. Faith believes God first and has confidence that when God has spoken, that settles it. That's what faith is. God has spoken. I believe it. That settles it. We don't get into a disputation with the devil and all the doubts that he wants to sow in the heart. Then also Satan tempts us to disobey God. Of course, there are so many pressures in this fallen world to disobey God. All around us, men are leading us in ways that would be in defiance to God's will. But Satan's temptations go straight to the mind. How do you know the difference between what another person is trying to tempt you with, or what your own flesh is leading you to do, and what Satan would have you do? That sometimes can be a difficulty. Satan's attacks and temptations are usually very sudden. It's like when you wake up in the morning and the most diabolical, hellish notion is in your mind. That's Satan. You didn't read about it. You didn't think about it. You didn't go looking for it. It's just a sudden blast of rebellious thinking. That's Satan tempting directly upon the believer's mind. And of course, if you're stupid enough to read about sin and go looking for it and pursue after it, you can't go then and blame the devil. Well, he led me into it. And you can't blame the devil for your own folly and for following after your own lusts. But when it is that, it could even be a murderous thought, it could be a blasphemous thought, it could be the worst wicked idea ever come into your head. And it came so quickly and so suddenly out of nowhere. That is the work of Satan plowing, prying into your mind. And it's then with that sudden temptation that you need the shield of faith. You need to lay hold upon the promise of God. You need to lay hold upon the power of God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what the shield of faith is for at that moment. And faith says, I will obey God. And then there's another area of temptation. It's the area of lusts. When Satan tempts us to follow after our own lusts. Now I define lust as longing for what God has forbidden. Strongly desiring what God has said you may not have. And the passion of your own heart, the strong fleshly cravings of your heart, begin to say, I must have. When God says, thou shalt not have. The Lord Jesus spoke about lusting after another woman. But God has forbidden. The very thought and the temptation of it comes like a blast to the mind. That's Satan's work. The children of Israel, they lusted after the fruits and the greens of Egypt. And all the while they had manna. That's what God provided them with. Angels' food, and they were lusting after the fruit of Egypt. When Satan puts those cravings into your heart, and you know all too well God has said, thou shalt not, but that craving continues, you can be sure the devil's at work, and you need the shield of faith. The shield of faith that enables you to abhor that which is evil. That's what Paul said in Romans 12:9. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And the shield of faith enables the Christian to abhor. It means to hate as hell itself. A holy hatred for sin. The shield of faith will give you that. It will protect you from the barrage, the fiery darts of lusting after things that God hates and you ought to hate. It was Anselm who used to say that if he should see the shame of sin in one hand and the pains of hell on the other and must of necessity choose one, he would rather be thrust into hell without sin than go to heaven with sin. That's a holy hatred for sin. Do you have that today? Are you using the shield of faith to guard you against the folly of following after sin? A fourth area where Satan tempts, and that is to harm a brother. Our Lord Jesus said, let brotherly love continue, and by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, when ye love one another. But Satan is a murderer. He entered into Cain, and Cain slew his own brother, Abel. And every time that you are tempted to harm a brother or a sister in the Lord, that's Satan's work. That's Satan's temptation. To do despite to his name, his reputation, his witness, his good in the cause of Christ, that's the work of darkness. And we need the shield of faith that whenever any tendency, never mind the thought or plan or scheme of it should enter us, to realize that we're not to destroy our brother for whom Christ died. That brother or sister is bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Precious to the Lord. And I'm to desire his or her good, never her evil. And we need the shield of faith that we have right thinking and right hearts. That we don't entertain those fiery darts that would make us destroy a brother and that will destroy you. That's often how it works. Destroys you as well, and Satan knows it. Another area to watch for is when Satan tempts us to take advantage of a position of trust. When Judas was given the bag, made the treasurer, it was a position of trust, and how he betrayed it. When God gives us office and position in his work, build up the confidence of the people. Even as King David, when he was in his palace, while his army was out fighting, he can become a man's downfall. The Lord says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. And it is then, in that place of danger, that we need the shield of faith. We need the promise where the Lord says, I will be with thee. And when young Joshua was stepping into the shoes of Moses and trembling in the prospect, God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. We need the Lord's protection, the Lord's presence, and the Lord's help in those places of danger. We need the shield of faith. And of course we have the great promise of the Lord's keeping power. Kept by the power of God through faith. 1 Peter 1:5. Garrisoned. That's our confidence. That the Lord keeps his people. The third area then is the shield of faith can fight off Satan's imaginations. Now I have drawn a distinction between temptations and imaginations because temptations are real. They are real issues, real hurts, real damage. Imaginations is when the devil just plays with a believer's mind. Things that are not real at all. They just become fantasies. They just become notions that end up leading the Christian astray and doing awful damage. And Satan plays tricks on the believer's mind. That's his work, you know. By this comes offenses. He makes you to think that people are against you, or people are talking about you, or that they're not as warm to you as they used to be. And maybe there's a few little coincidences that happen. We'll call them coincidences. We know that God is providential. There might be a test. But some reason or other, the phone gets cut off and a conversation ends very abruptly. And the next time you're driving down the road and they don't even see you when they're driving your car. And you put two and two together and you get 22. That person doesn't want to talk to me anymore. There's something wrong. You get offended. And many like scenarios, many like things, where people get it in their heads, that person's against me. And while there may be some circumstantial evidence that would lead you to think that, the reality is there's nothing about it at all. Nothing about it at all. And then oppositions. Someone may be standing on pure principle and defending a truth and saying to you, no, I can't do that, I can't go along with that, and I will have to oppose you on principle. But you take it personally. And you say, well, you don't support me then. And when people are working closely together, that causes offense and friction and trouble. And of course the devil plays with your mind, puts the magnifying glass on little things and makes them great. and causes great trouble. Now this can happen in a marriage. Can happen between husband and wife. And Satan is the enemy of a happy union in marriage. And he can put strange notions into a wife's mind or into a husband's mind. And there's no foundation for it at all. It can happen in the family situation with children. And teenagers can get the idea that they're not loved, they're not as cared for, that there's favoritism. And they try and add up all these things and they get upset. And of course, there's nothing as ripe for the devil than a teenager with his nose out of joint. Upset about something. And it just grows and grows and grows to be a horrendous problem. And the devil's there to magnify the notions that are not even real. Can happen in the workplace. Can happen in business. It can happen in the church. People get the strangest ideas. No foundation for them. But they're convinced. Absolutely convinced. And you couldn't argue them out of it. We have to be on guard. Taking the shield of faith. And not allowing the enemy to play with our mind. Because if those fiery darts get into us, they do untold damage. They burn us up, take us out of the battle, and leave us useless to God. We need the shield of faith to deal with those oppositions. And then there are opportunists. People who always think that the grass is greener on the other side. Which breeds within them a discontentment. Now the Bible says that contentment with godliness is great gain. But there are some people, and they always think no matter what situation they're in, no matter what office or position or open door they have, they always look around and they see somewhere else, that looks better than this. They see the grass greener on the other side every time, and they can never get settled. Of course, that's what the devil wants. The devil's all about keeping people stirred up, keeping you from being settled and grounded and fixed as a pillar in the church. It could happen in your marriage too. Looking around and seeing the grass greener somewhere else, and you become discontented. That's the devil's work. This is an awful age of discontentment. Discontentment. When people want to go after the next thing, the next thing. And all the while they're tearing up the roots that they've had. And they end up with nothing. Satan is behind that. And he plays with the mind. And then of course there's a great loss of confidence. Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, I'm going to wrap up with this text here. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. That's God's gift to us. Notice that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the spirit of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. It's the devil's work to disturb your mind. It is the devil's work to unsettle and unhinge the very gifts that God has given you. Don't let them. Take the shield of faith. Enjoy by faith the good gift. The gift of power, of love, and of a sound mind that God has given that leads to contentment. Leads to a spirit of godly contentment. Now back in our text of the shield of faith by which we quench all these fiery darts, the word quench is very important to us. It's the extinguisher. It puts out the fiery darts. And in the midst of this world, with all these fiery darts coming at us, from so many sources and directions, even in our homes, what we would call the safest place in the world, even in bed, trying to sleep, the devil can be working overtime, firing his fiery darts. And we need a shield of faith to quench, to extinguish all of these wretched, horrid thoughts and imaginations that play on the mind. That's why we're to live by faith. And of course, faith brings us to the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There is that inseparable connection between what God has said. Faith is object is the Lord Himself. We're to live, dwelling, focusing continually on Him. Faith looks to the finished work of Christ, the victory that He has accomplished on the cross for us. And faith goes to the Word of God for the final answer in every question. That's God's final answer to me. That's my ground. That's my fixed position. God's final answer to me in His Word. And that becomes my shield of faith. And no matter what the devil hurls at me, if I can find it in the book, if I can get down to the promises of God in His Word, here I stand with confidence. And I'm not going to allow those imaginations and temptations and accusations of the evil one to disturb me. But I'm going to stand in the battle. And when the order is to advance, I'm going to be standing, not taken out by these fiery darts, because I've got the shield of faith. Today, tomorrow, this week, use the shield of faith. Pray for faith. Pray for daily faith. Pray every day for faith. Pray that God will protect you, garrison you by His power through faith. And you will know that keeping of your heart and mind. And you'll enjoy that spirit of power, that spirit of love, and of a sound mind, which is a great gift, a great blessing. May you enjoy that to the full. And in our homes, families, daily lives, and in our church, may we live in the victory of faith through this shield of faith that's given to us. There's someone here and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you need the Lord. I would say to you in closing, if these are all the things that the child of God, the Christian, has to deal with, how are you going to stand on that day when you have nothing? No Savior, no salvation, no peace with God, falling into the ravages of the devil and his hatred to destroy your soul. Flee to the cross today and make sure you have the cross in your life. You have Christ in your life. If I can